In Exodus 21, we're given the instructions about the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, land was redeemed. But mostly, you had the freedom given to all slaves. But what if there was somebody who said, yeah, don't want to be free? I know, that sounds really weird to our ears, but let's say that he had no real options outside of slavery. I mean, he's got no money, he's got no resources. So he says, I like this guy. I'm going to stay here. So they would take him to the doorpost, and they would pierce his ear with an awl, which sounds painful. Probably was. But it was a symbol that person would then be a slave for good. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are incredibly blessed. Lord, sometimes we don't see it because we're focusing a little bit too much on the things of this world. Help us to see your blessings. Help us to see the way that you are moving in this world. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be studying from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 19. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 19. It is about the land that you choose to live in. Are you going to dwell in the land of Adam, the land of sin, or are you going to dwell in the land of grace, the land of Christ? It is about where you're going to present your members as weapons. Are they going to be weapons of righteousness, or are they going to be weapons of unrighteousness? It is all about what you choose to submit to. Several years ago at the workshop, Leslie Williams gave a lesson about the idea of obedience and submission and said that in our culture we don't like those words. Too bad. They're throughout the Bible. Submission and obedience. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So, he said that we are no longer under law, but we're under grace. And so he knows where that's going to lead some people. So he says, what then? Should we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Is grace a license to do whatever you want? That's how some people take grace, even to this day. Some people think, oh, hey, I'm saved by grace. So I knew this guy that he stopped coming to church. Stopped coming to church because he was living with his girlfriend. I had no other way of contacting him. I wrote him a letter and I said, please come back. That's all I said. And he wrote back and he said, look, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I know God will forgive me. So I wrote him another letter and I said, suppose you have a friend that's very forgiving and every day you saw him, you slapped him in the face. How long is that going to last? Why would you choose to treat God that way? Grace is not a license to sin. Grace, praise God, covers our mistakes.
Amen.
But because we're under grace does not mean, matter of fact, he says it pretty strongly, he says, may it never happen, may it never be. How could we come to a place where we would take the grace of God and trample all over it? Don't you know? When Paul asks that question, he is then going to follow it up with something that they know. It's a rhetorical device. Well, don't you know? It would be kind of like us asking, don't you know that there's going to be football today? Of course you, well, I mean, maybe some of you don't. I apologize if that's a bad example.
Yeah.
So he says, don't you know, when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience. So he's using an example that every one of them would have known. I don't know about Rome, but in Corinth in Paul's day, a third of that city were slaves. Of those who were not slaves, half of them were freedmen. They used to be slaves. Slavery was profitable in Rome. And there were a lot of slaves. There was a guy that was a senator who said, man, there's so many slaves, but we don't have any way of knowing who they are. We should make them wear a uniform. Everybody else on the Senate said, no, are you kidding? If they saw how many of them there were, they'd rebel. There were a lot of slaves. Christianity was popular to the slaves because it gave them a message that no matter what this world does to you, you can be free. So when Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says, don't you know that when you present your bodies as slaves of obedience, every one of them has some kind of connection to slavery. This is an example they're familiar with. Now, a lot of people came into slavery because of debt. They owed something they couldn't pay. Their option was to go to prison or to sell themselves to slavery. If they go to prison, there's no way of paying that back. Possibly if they go to slavery, they might. Can you imagine somebody goes into slavery, he owes this huge debt, and he sells himself into slavery, and he says, okay, I'm going to sell myself into slavery, but here's the deal. I really don't like to do what I'm told. Or I don't do windows. Can you imagine? He says, when you went into slavery, you presented yourself, you put yourself under the control of somebody else for obedience. Now, Paul makes a distinction between the words works and obedience. Work is the mentality that I'm doing this to earn salvation. It was the Pharisaical approach. Not only am I doing this to earn salvation, I'm doing it better than anybody else. Thank you very much. Obedience is what you do because you have already been saved. Obedience is the response to a holy God. He says you're either presenting yourself to sins, to sin, to death. We need to understand that sin shackles. It enslaves. You cannot play around with sin. Oh, Satan would love for you to think that you can handle it. Right? Isn't that what we think? Oh, I can handle this. Said every alcoholic everywhere, right? Until they get to that point. You cannot play around with sin. It shackles you. So when I lived in the Netherlands, they were interviewing this guy that had moved from Turkey to Amsterdam. And he said, this is the reason why I came here, because if I stayed in Turkey and did drugs, I'd probably lose a hand. Punishment was severe. But here, I can do drugs. It's legal. This is completely off topic, but I was telling a group of kids out at the Youth Correction Center that I lived in the Netherlands for the while, and they all went, ooh, the Netherlands. Because I know what that means. Okay, so they're interviewing this guy from Turkey, and he says, I don't care if I have a place to live. I don't care if I have food to eat or clothes to wear if I can get my drugs. Tell me sin does not shackle you. It's slavery. And the result is death. Or
you could be a slave, present yourselves as a slave of obedience. And this is interesting because what we would expect Paul to say is to present your body as a slave of righteousness. But he doesn't. He says, you're either going to be a slave of sin or a slave of obedience. And that results in righteousness.
There's no either or. We don't like that message.
You're a slave. I remember I was teaching Romans to a group of teenagers years ago, and I said, and I made that comment, I said, you're a slave. And one young man said, I've never been a slave in my life.
That's exactly what Satan wants you to think. You're a slave.
You have a choice. And God gives you a choice in the matter, which, by the way, is great news, right?
That's right.
He gives you a choice. He says you can stay a slave to sin, or you can become a slave to obedience.
Praise God.
And gain righteousness.
Praise God.
So you have a choice. You can continue down this path and live in the land of Adam and sin and remain shackled. Or you can say, I want to be a slave to God's obedience and I want His righteousness. Death or righteousness? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a no-brainer.
That's right.
Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Thanks be to God. There is good news. Yes, sin shackles, but there's good news. You were slaves to sin. You became obedient. And I love how Paul words this. From the heart.
For the Jewish people, for the Greek-speaking people as well,
the heart was not just the seat of the emotions, it was the whole inner man.
God has always desired that we would be obedient from the heart.
He doesn't want us to just do something because it's duty. Or we have to.
So there are some laws that I'm not too happy about.
For instance, if you're going to head south in Mandan on Highway 6, the speed limit's 25. It just doesn't feel like it should be 25. I mean, I know, okay, yes, I know there's a golf course and there's a park. I get it. But it doesn't speed up until you pass the bridge over the Hart River.
I obey that law.
And I do it from the heart. Not because I agree that it's what the right speed is, but I do it from the heart because I serve a risen Savior who said, be a good citizen.
Amen.
So yeah, you can do things that never reach your heart. When I tell my wife I love her, I don't tell her that because God said I had to. I do it because that commandment has reached my heart.
Amen. Praise God.
When I love my enemies. See, there are commands in the Bible, right? I mean, Jesus gave us some commands. He didn't say, if you want to love your enemies, it might be a good thing to do every once in a while. Try it. He said, you have heard. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, and he uses command language, I tell you, love your enemy. Now here's the thing. You might do that initially because you love Jesus. That's doing it from the heart. Amen?
Amen.
But if you do that, eventually you're going to go, you know what, Jesus? Good job. You're right. Loving the enemy is better than holding on to hatred and bitterness. And you get behind the command and you understand. I want to be a slave to obeying this guy because he knows what's what.
Amen.
You were slaves, but you've become obedient to that form of teaching. You've been set free from sin, and you become slaves of righteousness. God set you free. And then in that moment, He said, choose slavery to my righteousness. And if you don't, you're going to slip right back to slavery to sin. So what He did was, He said, it's the year of Jubilee. I am going to set you all free. I hope you'll come to my doorpost. So I handed out this song. We're going to sing this song. I encourage you to sing this from the heart. I encourage you to make a statement right now that I'm going to pierce my ear and I'm going to serve God for all eternity. I hope you're familiar with the song, because I'm not a song leader. Okay. Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay. For you a 3-hour wrestling tournament with a toilet, and I lost. It was a battle. I walked away with skin knuckles and bruises, and it still doesn't work. If you try to wrestle with sin on your own, you cannot win. You will never be free of it. You will be bruised and beat up. Don't we see it all the time? The results of enslavement all around us. Abuse, neglect, slavery. And through the years, it just seems to repeat and repeat. There's good news, because I've been set free from that. And God in that moment says, I'm going to set you free, and you're free by my grace. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything to it. But here's what I want. I desire for you to now choose to be my slave, because it's the only option. It's the only way. It's the only way to stay away from the land of sin. Be a slave to an almighty God.
Amen.
Amen.
Choose to serve. Verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. The phrase "I am speaking in human terms" could be translated, I'm going to give you an example from day-to-day life. Because that's exactly what the slavery example is. It was their day-to-day reality. And I'm giving this to you because the flesh is weak, and that's caused all kinds of conversation, debates. What if he's saying this? Not that he believes that our flesh is horrible. What if he's saying that you live in a fallen world, and so I'm going to give you a fallen world example?
I have a friend on Facebook who last week just said, "Oh, all churches just want to be entertained." I understand what he's saying.
If entertainment is all you're looking for, then you're missing the point. But there is nothing wrong with the message being entertaining. Jesus told stories that were entertaining to his audience.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, look, I am pulling an example. You live in this fallen world. I'm going to give you an example from your fallenness. Slavery is not God's plan for us. I think there's some pretty clear examples of that in the Bible. They're a little bit subtle maybe, but they seem clear to me. God never wanted us to own people. It's a fallen world dilemma.
So he says, look, I'm going to give you an example from your fallenness. I'm going to take a story that relates to you.
Years ago, I read an article that was complaining about how preachers get up there and they make people laugh and they make people cry. Oh my goodness, don't show emotions in the worship of God.
This ought to be a place where we could dance.
This ought to be a place where we weep sometimes because the world is a horrible place and God freed us.
Amen.
This ought to play. We ought to be able to say praise God and hallelujah and raise our hands and get excited because God freed us.
That's right.
Amen. Let's not take emotion away from it. It's okay if the message is entertaining. And I hope that it's okay if it's delivered from a goofy old man.
We love you.
Thank you. You presented your members as slaves to impurity. The word impurity could be translated filth. You took your abilities, you took your body and your members of your body, and you put that under the control of filth. To lawlessness. It was a downward spiral. So let's go back to the beginning in the garden. God said, I want you to choose me. But it's not a choice if there's not a choice, right? So he said, I'm going to give you a choice. Here's this tree. And this tree is called the tree of
life.
Of good and evil.
Good and evil.
So it's basically saying, if you don't want to trust me, here's this tree where you can trust your own understanding. I don't want to be a slave to God. I want to figure it out all myself. And we're still going down that path, and it's going to lawlessness. In the state of California, there are 16 recognized legally genders. God said, I have created you male and female in the likeness of God. Male and female, I created you. And we come up and say, no, God, we don't need your definition. We're going to make our own. Thank you very much. In some schools in California, they're teaching that pedophilia is a gender identity. Tell me that we have not become slaves of our own enlightenment. That as we chose to do away with God's slavery, we have chosen a slavery that has gone to rebelliousness, to rebelliousness, to rebelliousness, and it's a downward spiral. But there's good news. He says, stop doing that. Present your members as slaves to righteousness that results in sanctification. You take yourself and your abilities and your members, and you say, I am going to submit to a holy God. I'm going to have him pierce my ear. I will be his slave. And I will be a slave to God's righteousness. And he will sanctify me. The word sanctify means to separate. Not for common use. The world may want to use you and say you're common. But our God has separated you out and sanctified you and said, back off. This is my child and he's not for common use. There is evil in the world. And it's there because we have, as a people, not us, not you and I, praise God, but a people has turned their back on God. And they said, no. Submitting to God feels like slavery, so we're going to do this. And they're still slaves. But they're slaves of something that can only result in death. So my job is not to hate them. I want them to know my God. I want them to know what a blessing it is to be a slave to God's righteousness. We got to change our language, brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to stop calling names. We got to stop belittling people. We need to weep over the fact that there are so many people that are stuck and slaves of unholiness and filth. It ought to tear our heart. It tears our God's heart up. But our job, our goal, our desire is we want them to know God.
Amen.
We want them to know the glory of being a slave to God's righteousness. And what it means when God takes us and says, over here you're common, but I'm going to take you out and I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to take you to this other land, this land of grace and righteousness, and I'm going to make you uncommon. We want all people to know that. Regardless of what they've done in their slavehood, we want them to know our God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not going to encourage anybody to change their life by calling them names. Ugly speech will not encourage people to come to Christ. I'm a slave to God because Jesus died on the cross. For me, in my ugliness. And I want everybody to be a slave of God so that they can know what holiness and righteousness is all about. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. If you don't know my God, I want you to know my God. I want you to know what it's like to die in burial and baptism. I want you to know what it's like to say, whew, I tried to live myself and I can't do it. I know I'm a slave to my own stupidity. I thought it was intelligence, but it's not. I want you to know what it's like to have God resurrect you and say, please choose me in obedience. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is what cleans us up so we can be even more obedient. I want you to know that. I want you to pierce your ear. Commit to a holy God. Not just on a Sunday morning, but your whole life. If you have any needs, we would love to pray with you, over you. We would love to talk to God with you. If you want to know more about our God, we love talking about God.